I'll try again tonight to use the hands-free. I don't know if that is going to work now. We've had some real issues with it the last few times, and I have not been using it. I've just been holding down the talk button, but I'll try it here. I'm going to try the hands-free button here, and we'll see how long this lasts, because I don't know if the upgrades that Brandon has made will solve the issue we were having before or not, or whether we'll continually get disconnects. So I'm going to try it here, and I'll let everyone know how that goes. I want to start by just letting everyone chime in on whatever is on their mind, any issues that anyone wants to bring up or discuss, or any news of the week or any prayer requests. So I'll open up the floor for those at this time.
There, I finally got it to work. I would like to just share just a bit. I know that most of you here are aware that I lost my brother-in-law. He passed away about a week and a half ago, and I appreciate so much your prayers. It really helps during those times to know that the saints are praying for your strength. Also, my husband was having an issue with his eyes, and we did find out that he had a little mini stroke, which damaged the muscle in his eye in his brain that controls the eye movements, and so they're operating independently of one another, and so he's seeing double. But that should heal itself up within a month or two, so we're thankful that he's not going blind, and very thankful for that. So we have a lot to be thankful for. But I just wanted to tell you thank you so much for thinking of me and for praying for my family.
Okay, I'm back. I'll wait just another moment here for anyone to contribute that wants to.
Eileen, I just wanted to tell you that I'm very sorry for your loss. Understand that there's a lot of pain you're going through, and you've definitely been in my prayers, and everybody to know that we're here for you.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and start here, and there's a lot going on for a lot of you, I know, these days, and a lot going on in our country, a lot going on in the world, and so these are perilous times, and I just pray, you know, or we'll make a subject of prayer that the Lord walk with each of us and give us wisdom, give us strength, give us courage in the times in which we are living. So let's go ahead and open tonight with prayer. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful for your presence with us on this forum tonight, for your spirit enlightening every heart. We pray that we may abide in your truth tonight, that you will bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts. May these be acceptable in your sight, and we pray for Eileen's husband that he may be given strength from you and recover, and that she may be given the wisdom to minister to him and to share with him the truth at this time, and that he may be open to that through a miracle of your spirit. And we just pray for each person here tonight and whatever struggles are going through, that you will lift that load, and may all of us be willing to help lift that load. And we just pray for strength for every person here, and the courage and the wisdom and the discernment needed in these critical times. And we pray for a blessing on this study tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. If there's any trouble with this hands-free, if any of you stop hearing me, please post a message immediately. It seems to be working now. I'm glad to see that, because that was an issue for quite a few weeks here, but it's coming through real well tonight. So What we're going to look at is this Federal Vision Movement. We're going to get started on that tonight. And if any of you want to open another window besides the window you're in behind the scenes and bring up the Wikipedia article on Federal Vision, I would recommend that you do that because it is quite good. If you type in your, I guess I'll just go ahead and post the link here as to what that is so that you can just go there for you. You'll notice that as soon as you go to that, that it says this article's in dispute, the neutrality of it. And of course, the reason for that is every Federal Vision proponent claims that they're misunderstood, claims that we just plain don't know what their true position is, and yet to outline specifically why these positions are not understood, we just don't get that. And I think that this is a very well-written article and does properly outline the views of that movement myself. So that is a good reference for you to for further study also. Now, what is this movement? Because last week we discussed the movement of Reconstructionism, or I called it Rushdooneyism, according to its original proponent, its founder. And I think that we need to understand that there's an integral connection here between this wave of apostasy and this Federal Vision wave that we're going to study tonight, that's far more integral than any of the others, except for Fullerism. Fullerism is a foundational belief for all of these other waves of apostasy, and we need to understand that. The philosophy of Cornelius Van Til, even, that we're going to talk about, is theologically a Fullerist philosophy. It is a synthesis of universal and particular atonement, a synthesis of all sorts of paradoxical propositions all meshed together in some strange and weird concoction that's been invented of theology. But I'm going to start by looking at what this movement is. It's generally a reformed movement, okay? So that means its roots is those churches which are of the label Reformed or Calvinist or Presbyterian or Reformed Baptist. It had its major launch around 2001 with Steve Wilkins in the Auburn Avenue Presbyterian Church. It incorporates the new perspective on Paul, which had been around for a long time, with Reformed theology and attempts to synthesize the two or to incorporate the principles of the new perspective theology into Reformed theology. Now, the New Perspective on Paul is a separate movement. That is not the same as Federal Vision. We need to get those two straight. Federal Vision is an incorporation of many of the principles of the New Perspective on Paul into a neo-reformed movement. The current populist teacher of the New Perspective is N.T. Wright, Bishop N.T. Wright of Great Britain, well-known. What I call a neoconservative theologian. The position had been around for at least 20 years prior to him adopting and promoting it. It was originally promoted by E.P. Sanders, James Dunn, and Christer Stendahl. And these men were what are commonly known as liberals. They had a skeptical view of Scripture in that they did not believe, of course, that there is a harmonious body of truth presented there that is without erroneous teaching. But N.T. Wright sort of baptize this new perspective into a more acceptable jargon for conservatives. I'll use that term loosely here. Now, the Federal Vision Movement was rooted in this other movement we studied last week, Reconstructionism. It's just that those who were in Reconstructionism up through 2000 for many, many years finally got tired of Reconstructionism and wanted a new, fresh perspective on things. They wanted to go further out even than what they had gone so far in needing to add innovative and strange concepts to this whole theology they call Calvinism, and or their version of it. And the postmillennialism of Rush Dooney and Bahnsen and their dependence totally on the philosophy of Cornelius Van Til. It's all theologically rooted in Fullerism, like we've said. It's a synthesis of universal and particular salvation in such a way that you don't really know whether you're a part of salvation or not. Now, why is that? Well, it's very simple. The liberal, so-called, teachers of the New Perspective on Paul, salvation was not an issue because they accepted universal salvation. So you didn't need to worry about assurance. So the fact that justification was not considered to be a central part of the gospel, that it was just a statement about earthly covenant status, perspective, conscience of the West. And you've seen some discussions about that on the forum. Rest in God and not worry about anything and just pursue our faith. Well, of course, that sounds great for someone who believes in universalism because there's nothing to worry about anyway, ultimately. But when conservatives started teaching this new perspective, who taught that there was a hell, a final punishment, that not all would enter salvation, then it becomes more problematic because then how do you get rid of this introspective conscience of the West when, you have to meditate on the fact that you may not be one of those that are finally saved. And then it goes back to, what in my life is potentially indicative that I may not be. Well, their answer to that is, well, salvation's a community thing, and to worry too much about salvation itself is selfish. And I've actually seen this taught in Federal Vision Reform teachers that, the covenant is a community, and we're a part of a community, and we shouldn't be so worried about whether we individually are part of the saved as to whether the community is moving to final salvation. And so this is the stuff that you'll see, and there's some good quotes in this Wikipedia article on Federal Vision, especially by Richard Lusk. Now, who are the proponents? Steve Wilkins, we already talked about. There's Doug Wilson, John Burak, Steve Schlissel, who had a very bitter conflict with Dr. John Robbins. Peter Leithart, James Jordan, Randy Booth, Tim Gallant, Mark Horn, who is here a few miles from me, as well as Jeffrey Myers. Those are the pastor and associate pastor of a Presbyterian church near here. And then there's Peter Leithart and Rich Lusk, Ralph Smith, Greg Strawbridge. We could just go on. And Norman Shepherd, also, the great person who split Westminster Seminary in theology and became Christian Reformed, but he is very sympathetic to the New Perspective on Paul, and his theology of justification is in harmony with it. And I think he went into the Christian Reformed Church, but he is definitely sympathetic to the Federal Vision movement. Now, Federal Vision is a progressive, non-conservative view of the covenants. Now, this is my next point. Actually, I just went back to the board. It's not Twin Oak, it is Providence Reformed Presbyterian Church, I'll put it in, I believe it's Crestwood, Missouri. The Twin Oaks, I don't know, because they just had John MacArthur speak over there recently, and he's anti-federal vision, so I don't know where they're at. I definitely got the impression when I was attending there for a while that the preacher there was toying with it, and I know he was in fellowship with Mark Horn and Jeffrey Myers in the presbytery, but I don't really know where that all stands right now. Really strange development. And yet the presbytery, the Missouri Presbytery, was condemned by the 2008 statement at the General Assembly, but nothing was ever done to, quote, discipline, unquote, anybody in the Missouri Presbytery. So they rebuked him and then left him alone, basically. And you've got the whole controversy now with Green Baggins and Lane Keister and so forth that is going on. But getting back to, MacArthur is a federalist anyway, that's true. But he is currently an avid federal vision critic and is very outspoken in his criticism of it. Of course, just because a person, and these are basically in harmony with the doctrines of federal vision, it is what's called conditional time salvation. It attempts to incorporate old covenant principles into the new covenant. And what are some of those principles? Well, number one, salvation and covenant membership in time are distinguished from eternal salvation and eternal election. There's this idea that God, yes, he predestined a people to eternal salvation and all of that, but what happens in time with people coming into the church, they call it, and being baptized with water and partaking of the sacraments is strictly to be distinguished from that. And these other things, water baptism, the sacramental Lord's Supper, and the external church are considered to be that is entering salvation in a time perspective. And yet it's a revolving door. You can be in and out of that time salvation, which is distinguished by water baptism, the sacraments, and the church. And faith is affirmed, but it is certainly affirmed as some, you know, you can't have faith apart from these other elements and still claim to be a part of the covenant people. Secondly, one may lose time salvation. And there's also this idea, which is in harmony with also Lutheran theology. And thirdly, there's definitely a movement into general atonement and a rejection of particular atonement. So, and that is because they're confusing eternal salvation and time salvation, and they're saying that the atonement of Christ is related to not only eternal salvation, but also to time salvation. And of course, that harmonizes with all this common grace teaching and these other things. So, it's all of these other movements since Fullerism build upon Fullerism and its theology. It's just that they go further with it. For instance, Fuller and some of his followers like Spurgeon, Dabney and others, and we might even say John MacArthur today, they claim that you could have assurance of salvation. Whereas the federal vision movement would doubt that individually you have they definitely deny that individually you have assurance of final salvation. And I need to check here to make sure that I'm still live ever so often. So another point, the movement has caused denominational splits. We know that both in the PCA, the Orthodox Presbyterians, and others. A new church has been formed, the Confederation of Reformed and Evangelical Churches, the ERC, which, as these federal vision theologians are become either so out of harmony with the denominations that they've been in or are kicked out, either one. They go join this new, this is naturally the place where they run. Wilkins has gone there, Wilson has gone there, and others. But as far as I know, not yet. Our friends over here at Providence Reformed Presbyterian Church, Jeffrey Myers and Mark Horn, they're still in the PCA, to my knowledge, which is a strange situation. Anyway, even where it is officially shunned, the core principles of the movement, and this is a very important point, officially shunned by many of these denominations, but its core principles have still won the hearts and minds of both preachers and church members far and wide. And this is what's tragic, because this is what people don't realize. They are outwardly saying there's something wrong with this, we don't want to mess with this, just stick with what I'm preaching and teaching you. But in actual fact, there is a fascination with this stuff, and it's made an imprint upon the theology of teachers far and wide because of its respect in the seminaries and an increasing, really, I could even summarize it as an increasing damnation of theology itself, really, because when you hear the long and short of it from some of these men, they say, I hate theology. I hate trying to nail God's truth in propositions. I really like the mystics, the Eastern theology, because it doesn't try and do that. And I've heard that also. And the word paradox I've heard 30 times in one sermon as the way we need to approach understanding the Bible. So, which it goes back to Vantillianism as those whom both the Reconstructionists and the Federalisionists view as their philosophical father or mentor. So that's the introduction. I didn't want to go too far with this tonight. I just wanted to give you an introduction to it. What we're going to do next time is go into more detail and get kind of caught up on where this is going and why, in more detail, that it differs from, well, basically, the Bible's doctrine of salvation. It also, of course, is a departure from the best point of where the Reformation was before things started to fall apart. And that's what this series is about. So, and it's each one of these movements, these waves of apostasy, goes further and further from the truth as time goes on. And you didn't have in these prior waves an outright denial of the teaching on justification as it was at least propositionally stated by those in earlier generations. So we live in very troubled times. We live in very strange times, and yet we live in a time when I believe, in my perspective, that God is sending all these heresies to the churches in order to cause a new interest in the truth, actually, amongst those who become fed up with them. So that's my stand on it. So with that, I'm going to open the floor for discussion.
Thanks, Bob. I really liked your presentation, and yeah, it's amazing what has occurred. I think even within the last 5 years, I think I don't know how big was the Federal Vision when you first came to this forum in 2003. Has it accelerated quite a bit since then, or was it just in its infancy then?
It was just in its infancy then. It was certainly had accelerated in certain circles. I mean, 2003 is when John Robbins resigned from the PCA over the Federal Vision in his conflicts with Steve Schlissel in the eastern U.S., wherever the presbytery that he was in over there in East Tennessee. And certainly had the Auburn Avenue group highly active, but as far as it just become more and more widespread and prominent as they've been tooting their horn louder and louder, especially in the last 4 years or so.
Do you think this is something that could just flare up, over the next 5, 10 years, and then just blow up and go away, and then, or do you think this is something that is going to profoundly change these churches for forever?
Oh, I definitely believe the latter. I believe it will profoundly change the churches of today forever, and that they will not be able to go back home. The Reconstructionist movement started in the 50s, and this is basically a continuation and just an acceleration of that movement with a different face and a more detailed, perspective on where their thinking should lead them in their view. But I think, like I said, the fascination with this is far and wide, even where it's not confessed. The story's out. It's become respected in the seminaries. I mean, N.T. Wright is one of the most popular authors of today. His books are on the book tables of virtually all of these churches. Even though they may say they're not Federal Visionists, they still teach N.T. Wright books in their Sunday school classes. And I just, I think it's the latter. So that's my answer to that question.
Is this stuff popping up in some of the Reformed Baptist movements, such as the Founders Movement and any of the Fullerists? I know you said MacArthur came out against it. What about other churches besides the Reformed and the Presbyterian churches?
It's also in the Reformed Baptists. The most prominent Reformed Baptist, John Armstrong, up in Chicago area, and I published a link by him in his evaluation of Greg Bahnsen's son, Dave Bahnsen, in one of the links in one of the other posts that I made for one of these conferences. But he is one of the most prominent Baptist. Now, whether he is converted away from being a Baptist as a result of this at this time, I am not sure. I think he's still a Reformed Baptist. That's what he was for a long, long time. And I know there's Don Garlington, I believe, in Canada, is fascinated with this stuff. At least with the new perspective type theology. So it's definitely, and all of those that have written for Armstrong's paper, Reformation and Revival, which there's a significant number of those of a Baptist perspective. You ask about Holmes more, I'm not sure. More than likely he would be a little bit more like MacArthur and probably say he's against it, but I don't know because I haven't checked up on that recently.
No, I would think Conrad Murrell would be the one to go for this. If you recall, he I think what about 2004, 2005, strayed away from particular redemption, limited atonement, and embraced universal atonement. I would think that might be a big step towards adopting a federal vision, I guess, doctrine.
Well, the whole view of what's called eschatological justification is in harmony with Federal Vision doctrine. Now, that is a position that, of course, is pre-Federal Vision. It's been around a long time. And I have read that in Conrad Murrell. I have read it in from the brother from Minneapolis. Why can't I say his name right now? And I shouldn't be calling him a brother. It's just a habit, but from Bethlehem Baptist Church, John Piper. Thanks. I don't know why I had that slip for a moment. In his book Future Grace, certainly he teaches the position that that he distinguishes between present and future justification, and saying that, you know, just because you have present justification doesn't mean you have assurance of final justification. So that in order to have final justification, you have to be faithful in this and that and the other thing and so forth. So that certainly is in harmony with this new view of covenantal salvation taught by Federal Vision. So elements of this teaching have been around for quite some time and are still with us. It's just, I think that a lot of these teachers have not signed the dotted line and said they're Federal Visionists because of whatever that would mean for their situation, and maybe they have some details that they argue with of the way it's presented. But nonetheless, as I was trying to make the point before, the essence of this, the philosophy of this, has stole the hearts of so many preachers and congregations at this point. And it's a sad note on the history in which we live, but it's definitely true.
Well, as Angie said, it sure does seem complicated. I mean, when you take salvation and put it in the hands of something else rather than God, that really is complicating things. I mean, so if it's more complicated than God saves people or God saved his people, then as far as I'm concerned, it's just something to trash. But yeah, it's sad. But as you know, Bob, you know, these churches, they have so many false doctrines already floating around from the pulpits and in their Sunday schools, et cetera, et cetera. They have awful, church practices, ecclesiastical practices. They have false doctrine regarding eschatology. They already start with, in my opinion, a false soteriological stance. And so it's really not surprising that we are seeing Federal Vision. As Greg says, what do you think this is going to morph into in 5-10 years? How can there be any assurance in a church like this? Do you expect it to move into something more along the lines of Roman Catholicism, Jehovah's Witnesses, or just flat-out Pelagianism? I mean, that's what it is now, but how can these churches stay together? I mean, I would expect them just to simply implode and fall apart.
Well, it appears that the good news of that story, hopefully, is that as these churches become more and more corrupt and become more and more fascinated with this false teaching and this false gospel, as I would view it, for sure, that those who are truly elect and lovers of the truth will become more and more uncomfortable in those congregations and seek out some other fellowship, some other place in which to have their souls satisfied with truthful teaching. And that is the upside of this. I don't know how long all of that will take to happen, and exactly what it's going to look like in 5 or 10 years. I think that's kind of what we're going to talk about in our seventh wave, which is yet future. How do we construct what the next wave of apostasy will look like based on the waves that have happened so far and what we're seeing today? And I think there are some principles that can be applied there, so we're going to get into that. But basically, the upside is the truth will triumph. It will be in some other measure, some other place than the traditional churches. And that is what we have looked forward to. It's just that we have to be very patient with the Lord to work and the growth of the truth that is nonconformist to all of this heresy is slow, it's almost imperceptible, and yet it's definite. And we need to recognize it, we need to rejoice in it.
You know, I think the reason why we've seen this rapid increase, this rapid spread of Federal Vision, I just dawned on me. Do you think it has something to do with the internet, Bob? I mean, did movements like this spread this quickly in the past? We're talking less than 5 years here that this thing has really just caught on like wildfire. I mean, it's crazy.
I think part of it has to do with most of these church movements, including the Reformed churches, have always had a faulty view of certain aspects of the covenants. And this theology of the church that we see in the Federal Vision movement is a definite emphasis on the importance of church membership, the importance of dedication to the church, attendance to the church, supporting its programs, participation in its sacraments. And this is what preachers are trained for in seminaries, is to preach the importance of you have to be a part of this church, and that there's very little salvation unless you are identified with the idea that anyone can be saved outside of it is an exceptional thing. And because preachers are so motivated to emphasize the importance of being in the church, this theology gives them added ammunition to emphasize that importance, or to make a big issue about the fact that you can't be saved outside the church ordinarily. And that is it's a method of guilt motivation, but it keeps people in the pews, though not healthy spiritually, obviously.
I think it's quite scary when you think about it. I can gladly say that I'm in a church where basically it's a gospel standard church, about 20 miles north of where I live. And every time I come out of there, I'm happy because I'm hearing something about what God does and what God can do, and not about what I should be doing or what I could be doing. And it makes such a difference. Where I was before, I came out feeling absolutely beaten up, that I wasn't good enough, that I had to do something more. What you were talking about, Robert, about, you know, sort of making folk feel as if they've got to get into the work and all this kind of thing. And I found myself going to just about every meeting that I could go to. Initially, it wasn't a problem, but then suddenly, you know, you were put on this list and that list to do certain things, and it just became to a point where I felt like, you know, you've got to do this kind of thing. You've got to do this to almost prove your salvation, you know, to prove that you're a child of God kind of thing. And I just got sick of it. I really just got sick of it. And I just thank God that His grace is sufficient for all of us, and that we don't have to sit and listen to this stuff. I would just like to add, there was many years, or maybe not many years, but quite a few years where I didn't understand about, you know, the burden being light. You know, Jesus talking about, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, I will give you rest. It didn't make a lot of sense for quite a number of years. And the other one about, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, I didn't have any clue. And I can remember a Christian guy speaking to me one time and saying that when he gets to heaven, he would ask God what that meant, because to him, the load was so huge. And of course it is, when you listen to all this sort of full-right heresy and other heresies that followed it. I can thank God that I know what that means. I know exactly what it means, because the Bible also says that the truth will set us free. And it does, for sure, when you're not in bondage to this stuff. And it reminds me also of Galatians, where it talks about how people were spying on these folks' freedom in order to tie them up in bondage and all kinds of other things.
Yes, I think that's the most applicable example of what we're talking about, is that for those who have the freedom of the gospel and the fact that it is everything to them, that our whole faith and life is grounded in the gospel and that alone. For those who want to get into some program or some want to use you for some goals that they have, some numeric objectives, then, you know, they're going to be interested in trying to make you feel guilty that you're not doing this and that and the other thing, that you're not giving a lot of money to a building program, or that you're not participating in some sort of a community activity, which, you know, which may be fine in and of itself. The trouble is a lot of the time when you get involved in these activities, you're expected to conform very shortly to the actions and the thinking and the methods of those who are promoting those activities. It's just a, you know, it's a very difficult issue to deal with. And, you know, it's just, the problem is that people cannot be satisfied with just worshiping the Lord in the spirit and truth of the gospel as the main purpose of an assembly of believers. It has, you know, the church movements all have these management by objective goals that they try and impose on everyone who enters their midst.
I think as well that the other problem as well is because of all the programs, the sort of welfare of the people can sort of be risked, sort of put on the sideline, as it were. You know, it's almost like, you know, a secondary issue. And, you know, as you say, they do want to get you sort of to think exactly as they do. And if you think any different, then they'll tell you that you're going to be quiet, basically.
Mary, you have a good night, and I hope your back gets better. Thanks for showing up tonight. I'll talk to you later.
Well, I think I'm going to turn it back over to Greg. If anyone else has something to add here, just been waiting to speak up and you haven't done it yet, go ahead and chime in right now.
Hey, Bob, is that all you're going to present for tonight? Does anybody else have anything else they'd like to say? Well, I certainly enjoyed the meeting tonight. I don't know how this usually goes. Greg, do you usually adjourn? Or does everybody just hang out here and chat for as long as they want? Well, I don't have any refreshments. That's the only thing I don't like about these meetings, is we can't pass milk and cookies or coffee around the table. That certainly would be a nice thing to do, don't you think? Thanks, Eileen. You have a good night, too. I guess I'll catch you online next week, and have a good week. Oh, yeah. And she says, tell everybody what their stat money is going for. Yeah, you know, I work downtown in the downtown United States Postal Service here in St. Louis. And they've replaced our cafeteria for all the employees there. Instead of a cafeteria, we now have a Dunkin' Donuts. right in the middle of a post office that only employees can get to. That means donuts for everyone where I work. And I don't know if you've taken a look around the U.S. Postal Service, but donuts isn't what we really need. But, you know, let's see. You know what, Greg? Those donuts, they're $1 a piece. They're $1 a piece. And I think a small coffee is $1.39. They're crazy. Where do you get World's Fair donuts, Bob? And Greg, no, your tax dollars do not support the United States Postal Service. Your stamp dollars do. Just want to get that straight. We lost you there, Greg. Hey, Bob, I think the software worked pretty well tonight. Greg had some problems early on, but it turned out it was his computer. You know, I heard you perfectly all throughout the meeting. Did you notice any problems on your end? I'm assuming you probably didn't, but just want to make sure everything was good, because if it is, I'm going to keep these settings and try to keep them set up like this forever.
It was a lot better tonight than it's been in a long time. I think it was really good from my angle.
Okay, that's great. That's just proving to me that the software is maturing and becoming better. Well, you're a little choppy, Greg, when you speak, and I don't know what the problem is. Maybe you need to set your record level up a little bit. Angie, my hearing is fine. I have normal hearing, and I don't know what you're talking about. Saying I have, slandering me all over the internet, saying I have the hearing of a 90-year-old man. Oh, Ange, did it ever occur to you that maybe I just like to listen to things, you know, at a louder level? I like to hear all the details. I don't like to just hear just the voice of somebody speaking, but I like to hear the background noises as well.
All right, well, I'm going to sign off here in a second. Brennan, we should get together sometime soon. Let me know. Email me whenever you think it would be a good time.
Well, I expect gas prices to be going up again. Looks like OPEC's going to meet and cut prices. Cut production, which will cause prices to go up. But let's get together sometime. Sometime this week probably would work well for me. I can send you an email and give you all the free time I have. I'm sure we have a lot to talk about, so I'll talk to you later. Actually, I sing walnuts roasting on an open fire, not chestnuts, walnuts. Alrighty, Greg, you have a good night. I'm glad I was here. You have a good night. I guess I'll talk to you tomorrow. You have a good one.